He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hi to our listeners for this week's edition of Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. And we are in the middle of a warming temperature trend in our listening area. And I hope it maintains itself longer than the last short one did a couple of shows ago. Along with the warming trend, we have rising gas prices still, fuel prices, that is, because we discussed diesel and gasoline as our main sources of propulsion fuel, besides the electric battery and hybrids. But they are not seemingly going down. I made a comment in an earlier show about none of the gasoline or oil that goes through the Hormuz Strait is ever directed towards coming to our shores to be converted into the proper gasoline. And that was a hoped for comment to see if the gas prices would come down as there was a blip in the rise in oil downward, which has now been reversed and is now higher than ever. So along with that, I want to start out talking about a couple of topics that I have read recently in a Motor Trend magazine. I find it very interesting because they do a lot of car vehicle tests, and they featured a story in a recent issue about the Toyota 25 Land Cruiser. It's been redesigned. I'm looking at a picture of it, and I must say I do like the front end of the Toyota Land Cruiser. But they have a topic about driving a Toyota Land Cruiser because it's a hybrid, how to drive it correctly, because apparently if you don't know how to drive it correctly, it's not as comfortable to drive. Well, it all boils down to pressure, foot pressure used in this particular line of vehicles or vehicle, delicately as opposed to less delicately. And since most drivers don't generally think of using delicate foot pressure, and I want Jay to chime in on this, in either maybe the accelerator pedal or the brake pedal, it so goes that with hybrids and with gasoline vehicles, there is apparently a opinion that if you do modulate your pressure on the at least the gas pedal or the pedal that's going to propel the electric motor and or the combination of a hybrid, it can make a vehicle drive more pleasantly in Motor Trend's tester's eyes. The reason they bring it up as a delicate need is because apparently it's very jerky because of the sensitivity of the pressure of the gas pedal, or the floor pedal, which propulsors, in activating the use of the electric motor when it's needed, and versus the hybrid drivetrain, etc. Not many of us probably have the benefit of owning a new Toyota 25 and forward Land Cruiser with this feature, so I think I'll leave it there. Delicate foot pressure is apparently very important in the pleasurable use of this particular vehicle. Jay, you've driven electric vehicles. What do you find is the sensitivity factor when using it, driving an electric vehicle and or a hybrid vehicle when the drivetrains might be adjusting and the gas engine jumps in or the battery jumps in as
so
you're accelerating?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I've driven a bunch of different hybrids. I've driven, you know, electric vehicles. I'm just quickly reading up on the Land Cruiser. First of all, I think the Land Cruiser is an awesome vehicle. It always has been one of the most rugged vehicles on the planet, period. I mean, and you've talked about this. You've ridden in older Land Cruisers the middle of Africa, and that's where a lot of them go, and that's where a lot of the older, when they get older, will probably end up. Honestly, I did not know that the powertrain on the new Land Cruiser was a hybrid, and I'm just reading that now. So I don't have much to say about that.
While you're reading, and we can come back to that if it's relevant for a later part of the show, is another article was, is engine auto stop start a problem? We have touched on this. And
That's not.
they say not in our Acura, but I know a lot of people who think it's a nuisance. And I do not think it's a nuisance. I think it's beneficial for, saving a few drops of fuel when the car is not moving. But I have not had any trouble with stop starts on the vehicles that I have stop start available in. And
I
that
think that
is.
I think the guy who came up with the concept is laughing every day because it has created so much unnecessary controversy that
Yeah, you're right.
it's to me it's a non-starter. I mean, most cars you can either activate it
Non-starter.
or not. Some people would advocate that that it is a real gas saver. Others will tell you that oh, it's just unnecessary strain on the starter. Honestly, I don't know what to think.
Well,
It doesn't bother me. If it does save a little fuel, I would say 90% of the time, it's a good thing. If I'm in a car and I know it has it, and I want to be the first one off the start, I will make sure it's deactivated by the time I want to press on the gas and go. And this is if it's a gas car. Obviously, if it's an electric car, none of that makes any difference because you just stomp the pedal and it just goes.
on the Jeep Cherokees, most of the Jeep Cherokees I have, it is equipped with the stop starter. Now, none of the three that have it are hybrids. They are just gasoline engines. And the first thing that happens is, unless the 12-volt battery is charged up to a certain level, it does not activate. And it'll say stop, start, not functioning, cabin heating, or battery charging. So the stop start system requires a battery at a proper charge level. And battery sitting in a car for a couple of weeks may lose a little charge. And so my start stop systems don't happen every moment that I'm driving my cars.
And
But I've never found it to be a problem. The people who thought they shouldn't buy a car with it thought that the starter welder would wear out early, whatever else they thought it was going to do to
I
impair the
think
car. I think that's all been properly technologically developed not to happen.
I think it's a psychological thing. People are
It is.
just anxious that the car might not start quick enough.
Well,
I
it
have it
does.
on one of my cars that has a stick shift. It's the manual, and if I put the car in neutral and let the clutch out at a red light, for instance, the car will stop as soon as I dip the clutch in to put it in gear.
It'll start.
It'll start. It will never stop with the car in gear, even with let's say first gear engaged and the clutch depressed. It will it, the engine will
The
stay
car,
on.
right. They're all
So
sorts of
it's
things.
a non-issue to me. Yes, it takes
It's
a
a
fraction of
non-issue,
a
and it should be
second.
a non-issue for all our listeners who think it is an issue. I
And if you
also
drive your
find.
cars in sport mode, like I tend to do, that thing is never gonna that is never activated in sport mode.
Well, what I also note is if you're at a stop sign and it's gone into action in the Jeeps, if you turn the wheel either way, it starts right up too, as if it thinks
Yeah,
you're going to start moving the car. I think
that
that
works in
counts.
some cars, not in others. They all work a little differently, but
They all
all in
do.
all, I think it's a good feature.
I do too. Okay,
So
move onward.
back to your Land Cruiser. So I don't know what the issue was with Motor Trend, really. I mean,
It wasn't much. It was just. I think it's just that they felt they discovered that if they modulated the pressure used by their foot on the thing, it made the operation or the activation of the various features of the battery coming in or the gasoline engine coming in more smooth than if they were pressing hard on the accelerator. They got a jerky start because it over, the electric motor started too quickly or put too much torque into the movement, and so you were jerked back in your seat. It's
Well,
minor.
we should all use the go pedal a little less jerkily. So,
Yeah, that's true.
if
Okay, let's go to
that
your
seems to
list.
work. So,
What about the cars that were the 10 cars might surprise us about what was stolen more? Is that what that was,
yeah,
or disappearing from the
I like I've
landscape?
told you, I don't think that's an issue. I mean, we've had one stolen car in the last 5 years in our neck of the woods. I never quite understand. I don't have the list in front of me, but yes, cars are stolen, and you'd be surprised at the models that get stolen the most. If it can be any reassurance to people in our tri-state area, I don't think any of those models are on the top of the selling list. So it's not a huge issue. What I wanted to talk about, briefly is, it's spring and some of us are taking our summer cars, quote unquote, out of storage. And Robin, you've taken a few cars of your own and other people's cars out of storage in the last few days. What are we looking at, and what are the first batch of prizes? And when I took my little sports car out of the garage this year, obviously, well, not obviously, but the battery was dead. I was a little surprised because it was a brand new battery last spring, and it was dead. I
What
jump
do
started it, and it just would not recharge. And I was told, oh, the battery is dead. No big deal. It's under warranty. There's a 2-year warranty on the battery. It's one of those green batteries, green color. And, I thought it was a little bit disappointing, seeing as I have a car that has a battery that is 11 years old and has never been changed, and works perfectly fine. I find it a little disturbing that batteries seem to be failing after 1 or 2 years on a regular basis. And companies like Costco and Walmart offer pretty straightforward
Warranty.
battery warrantties. It just boggles my mind that we can still we
Rely
can't
on a
find a
battery.
bat we can't rely on a battery.
A new battery. And I agree with you. What I don't know is why does that battery draw down? What is drawing down that battery on your sports car in particular? We'll let you get back to that in a minute. I have a Ford 1320 diesel tractor, and it parks outside most of the time or inside in an unheated garage all winter long. And it got a new battery recently. I think the first one lasted about 8 years, but it never loses a what do you call them, ampere of its charge. It requires glow plugs to heat it up into coal. I started up a couple times in the wintertime. It started up and fired up. And I don't put it on a charger at all. And I have not had a problem with that tractor battery if it's now 4 years old. So what do you do? Then I have a Jeep that lost battery power and a recent battery that I thought was old and needed to be recharged. And it would die or it went down. The amperage voltage went down to under 11.6, which seems to be the level at which if it's below that, it won't crank. And I don't know what was drawing it down. I'm
Yeah,
not
but that
sure.
was not a battery issue. I mean, I'm talking about, just pure
Well,
battery issues,
12
like
volt batteries, right?
that, that just go dead for no
No
good
re for
reason.
no
Yeah.
reason. What is it?
So I know that when, I beat myself up because I did have a trickle charger. I just got too lazy to install it. But obviously a lot of people put trickle chargers on their cars
In their storage.
in storage.
Yeah,
And
it's a
I
good
know
idea.
So you've taken a bunch of cars out, and what do we do when we take the cars out? I mean,
We check for low tires,
yeah.
tires that might have lost pressure and be a little soft, using a pressure gauge to find out. You can drive cars to a place where you can blow up the tires, inflate the tires if you don't have an inflator. As low as probably 22 to 24 pounds, but you don't want to go driving long distances and at fast speed. You want to get to a garage. And in Connecticut, we're fortunate that you do not have to pay put coins in a inflator at a garage in Connecticut. Some of the garages have coin op options, but if you go inside, they have to turn it on because state law is still active in Connecticut about saying you don't have to pay to get your tires inflated. That's the first thing you're going to check. Then you're going to check the oil level, as you might want to discuss, to make sure that you don't have you well, you want to check that there were no leaks under the car when you drive off the parked area that you've been parking on. And you can see drips of if there is a problem, you might have a transmission fluid drip. You might have an oil drip. What else? Power steering. Probably not windshield washer leakage unless it's cars outside and the windshield washer might have frozen. Fluid might have frozen if it was in a weakened condition, if that can be, if that can happen. What do you have on your list?
So yeah, I mean, I'm a believer in an oil change period. The car has been sitting for 3, 4 months. The question is, we ask, and I asked the mechanic who works on my car, I said, do we do an oil change before putting the car in the into storage, or do we put change the oil,
I hope he didn't say
when it comes
both.
out of storage? And the answer with a smirk was both. Put clean oil in it to store it, and then you change the oil when you take it out. And then he said, well, more seriously, he said, between the two, I'd put clean oil when you get the car back on the road. And that's what I did. And this is a car I don't drive a whole heck of a lot, so it does 3,000-4,000 miles a year. Actually, I hope to drive it more this year, but I just got the
Well,
oil changed when I got it out.
I have several cars that probably haven't been driven 2,000 miles a year for the past several, maybe even a decade or more.
Well,
So
we know of one car
theoretically,
you had that didn't
I should
come
be
out for
doing
3 decades.
I should be doing that to the cars. And I must say, I do not aspire to doing that, but I do aspire to driving the car long enough. Not just driving 2 miles down the road from a garage to my
Right.
parking area and stopping it. I think when you start a car up, you can't just go to the grocery store and come back, especially in cold weather. It does your engine no good not to get fully heated, the oil fully heated, the whatever gets warmed up by usage fully circulating around through the car. Because you do get condensation in the oil storage area because they're not full, are they, Jay? What does oil sit in a pool down in the engine block, which gets circulated by the engine being run? But when it's at rest, there is a gap between the level of the oil in the oil sump where. Condensation could occur in changing temperature conditions, which happen when it gets warm after a cold winter or gets warm after a cold night. And that's when the condensation starts getting there. And that happens in gas tanks also. If your tank is not full, and this might be something you should do, have a full tank of fuel in your car if you're going to store it. But then again, Jay, you say we should put fresh fuel in the tank.
Well, I fill the gas tank before storing the car
Yeah,
because of that
I do too.
condensation. And obviously, the car sits for 3 months. It's not like it's 3 decades like you leave some of your cars in storage for. But in which case, I probably would change the fuel altogether. And you had other issues when that car came out of storage. But yeah, no, full fuel when it goes in, but we're taking our cars out now. One thing I just remembered now, I took a client's car out that hadn't been used in many months. And I drove down the road and the brake pedal went to the floor,
Oh boy.
and I blew a brake line, and that was it. I had zero brakes. Luckily, I found out pretty quickly. And this was a car that was and still is meticulously maintained. No expenses spared. Everything is done on a regular basis. I've seen some of the invoices, but yet, rusted brake lines, I guess, and sitting there for a bunch of some time, and taking it out, and all of a sudden, pedal went to the floor.
Well, this is interesting because I have found I
And
think you have to
I don't know if it was related to the fact that it sat forever, but
well,
hey.
I don't either, but I think you have you what do you have? You have brake lines and I'm not sure what what they're made of, but they deteriorate over time. You have brake cup you have hose couplings, and I think that is the probably maybe the weak link in the brake line system. When something like that happened to you, it probably a coupling may have blown either because of a weakened condition or the pressure on the brake. I don't know what kind of pressure goes into the brake lines when you step on them on the brake, but with anti-stop lock brakes, you're supposed to step as hard as you can on so they get maximum use. And there's got to be quite a bit of pressure buildup. And if there's a weak link in the brake line system, That's exactly what you're going to have happen to you when you next apply the brake. If you even get one fair stoppage out of it before you lose the brake fluid. But they also recommend, and I don't know that I don't do this, the brake fluid be changed for a condensation possible issue every 2 or 3 years.
Well, car collectors are adamant about changing all the fluids very regularly, and people who do maintenance on cars will advocate that that is one of the maintenance item is like, really regular changing all the fluids. And I plead guilty to
Not doing it like I do.
not doing it
Yeah.
necessarily.
Right.
I just did the not too long ago the 100,000 mile fluid change on my Volkswagen on the
Yeah.
transmission
Okay.
and differential, front diff and rear diff. I probably should do it a little bit more often, but
Let's talk about transmission oil changes. I'm interested in that comment because in the old days, I was told by many dealers that this is probably when we were did had conventional transmission
Oh,
fluids,
if
and
it
I'm
was
not.
told by a dealer, it must be true. It's a little like the
Well, the
internet.
dealers would say that you don't want to do it because you might ungum gummed up works that allow the transmission seals to work better.
Okay, that dealer did not have any trained technicians, I guess, on staff.
There's more than one. This has happened over, let's say, 40 or 50 years. It's not, I haven't asked the question lately of late. Although, yes, I have. I recently had a for listeners, listen, a clunky condition in one of my automatic transmissions in one of
Yeah,
the
we
dealers.
know about that one.
Okay, the dealer said, I went and said, should we put new fluid in?
No, they changed
And
the
the service department
transmission.
said, well, no, they said that if you had a new, you need a new transmission, which they didn't know whether you did or didn't, it would cost $10,000, and the extended warranty wouldn't cover it because the Jeep is worth $2,000 because it's my oldest Jeep. And so they'd
That's
only
what they're
give you,
worth.
the warranty program would only give me $2,000 against the $10,000 transmission change if I'd had, and I would have to pay eight or trade the Jeep in and get rid of it.
Hey,
Well, right
Robin.
now, I want to go back to the fluid situation.
No, we're done with the fluid situation. I
No,
want to
we're
go to
not.
New York. We're going to New York to the auto show this week.
Okay.
You're going, I'm going. We're going separately, I believe. But
Well, we're going to the press edition opening, the pre-public show opening, where there will be meetings. I'm going to go,
and free lunch.
and yeah, well, yes, that's true. There'll be meetings all day. You can go to various meetings that you choose out of the menu that will be given to you, or you can get online. And hopefully all the vehicles will be there already set up so that we can roam through them
Sure,
without
they will.
crowds of people around us, which because it doesn't open until Friday or Saturday of the week that we're going. Okay. It'll be interesting because I've never been to a press preview introduction to a car show.
I'm thinking there might be more people than on the regular weekday show day.
Well, Jay, you can tell our listeners about that when you come back from
I
Germany.
will. I will. Any updates on what you're looking for at the auto show? Have you read
Well,
it?
I don't know. I think we know pretty well about updates of vehicles. I'm interested to see where they what discussions they are going to hold regarding the general condition of the propulsion part of the industry going forward over the next a decade or so. Maybe we already know, you and I might project that we know a lot about what they're probably going to say, but I don't know. And tariffs may or may not be a big issue. It shouldn't be, in my opinion, because I don't think we need to listen to that topic at a
So,
press preview of the show.
a little side note, you know that Mercedes built their first, the first car they built in the US was in 1903 in Long Island. And you know why they did that? Tariffs back
Really?
in 1903.
No. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I did not read the rest of the article because it was a paid subscription magazine. So
No.
But anyway, I thought it was a little interesting anecdotes. Tariffs have been around forever. Manufacturers have been building cars left and right forever.
Well, there were electric cars back in the, what, 1900s, early 1900s too, remember?
No, I don't
Battery,
remember. I wasn't there,
battery.
but
Well, no, I wasn't either, but I've read about them. And, they had battery operated cars. And I think probably their range was like 20 miles or something like that back in the day. But nobody went more than 20 miles back in those days. They didn't have any place to go. Now
well,
it's.
most people still don't go more than 20 miles. And, this range
Well.
thing. So actually, this weekend I had a conversation because I drove up to New Hampshire in my Volkswagen. So, I had 600 miles range, and it was a 400-mile round trip. And I was with in the car with somebody who asked me. We were talking about cars and electric cars, and talking about the Rivian. And this person asked me, said, "So, could we have made this trip in a Rivian, the round trip?" And I said, "Yeah, you know what? Probably not." So that
Well,
brought up the.
this comes back to how you drive electric cars to a certain degree to my discussion earlier about the Toyota example. You've driven a lot of electric cars. If you scoot away from the traffic light or a stop sign and with full torque use of the electric motor, you're using up miles very quickly between,
Same in a
two
gas
traffic
car.
lights.
Same in a gas car. If
That's
you,
correct, but you're not you, Jay. You
you're
and
not.
I will argue about this forever. You have far more limitations about recharging the electric car than you do about finding a gas station if you're going to do that with
I
these
don't know.
super powered, high performance gas cars that are out, like the Corvettes and the like. So I don't think we want to go there, but.
Oh, we can. No, the point was this was a normal, regular trip, four people in the car, comfortable ride, moving at a very good clip. No, we could not have done it in a Rivian. We might have been able to do it in a Lucid just barely, and that's pretty much about it. But on the other hand, we went for lunch somewhere, we would have plugged the car in somewhere while we were having lunch, and we would have had our 80% charge in 20 minutes or so, and we would have been perfectly happy coming back.
Where did you go? Where did you, what state did you go up to?
That was in New Hampshire.
Okay, so you'd probably have to figure out where to have lunch because you'd have to find a place that had
I had great lunch. That was not a problem.
a vacant plug nearby, so you didn't have to walk or take a taxi to the restaurant of your choice.
You're right, but all these manufacturers have software incorporated in the cars, and it's really not a huge deal. But it is a consideration. But again, how many days a year do I do 400 miles in a day? Oh, I will do 500 miles today, but that's a different story. And
Right.
yes, I not in an electric car. But anyway, that's just I don't even know how I got on the range thing and the 400 miles. But New York Auto Show, kind of looking forward to it actually. In these conversations, I also talking about driver's ed. I know I'm going from one subject to another. Are you
Okay,
guys
let's
still?
talk about driver's ed. Go ahead.
So, driver's ed. I just read an article recently about Massachusetts is considering changing the age at which you have to take the 30 hours of classroom and some road driving from 18 to 21. And I guess most states don't require driver's ed classroom under the age of 18. And I'm shaking my head because it should be mandatory no matter whether you're 16, 18, or 50.
I agree.
So the Massachusetts noticed that the road test failure rate went up in the last 5 years or so from somewhere around 28% to over 40%. And they attributed that to the fact that fewer younger drivers are getting their licenses, which is something we've talked about before, and therefore the older drivers, who are maybe in their early 20s, are failing at a greater rate because they have not taken that classroom
Yes.
education. So yes, driver's ed is a good thing. Am I happy I didn't have to do it? Of course I am. Do I think it should be mandatory for everybody? Yes.
Well, you're talking about when they're first getting their first license, or you're talking about periodically, every
No,
5 years?
they're just getting your license. We've had the conversation about
We have,
recurring
yes, we have.
education, which I'm a believer in it. I wouldn't like it, but I'm a believer in it. But there's also a seminar during the auto show about safety, and I cannot remember if it's on Wednesday or Thursday, but it's something that I would like to attend, but it seems to go on for a long period of time. But anyway, what else at the auto show?
Well, we'll discuss the auto show with our listeners after we've been, and we'll have more to say about it, I'm sure.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.